Good morning, everyone. The heart of worship, what an amazing song. The heart of worship, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And interesting, I always want to greet with this, you know, very, like Mike. Mike is a way of just saying, hello. And it just pulls everyone in. Every time I try it, it just feels flat. But there it is. Good morning, everyone. Okay. This morning, earlier today, I preached, and I heard that there's a meeting that has been called, and it's going to determine my future, whether I'm still a member of this church or not. So I'm going to begin by sharing a testimony, which is why I'm having this meeting afterwards. And it's a testimony about my journey. And what I shared this morning was also that we are all different, have different journeys. This is my journey. I've been saved for 8 years now. So this was, I can't remember the exact number of years, but it had been a couple of years having been saved. And God was, and still is, taking me on a journey. So what happened is this. There was a Holy Spirit weekend. Those that have been in the church for a while will remember that weekend. There was a Holy Spirit weekend, and the purpose of the meeting was all about the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the gifts, and so on and so on. And I was part of the meeting as well. So now, there came a time when people were going to be prayed for the infilling. And it was here in this hall. I still remember the exact spot. There was a line. And I was somewhat towards the end of the line. And the person or the people that were praying for us had started on the other side. And I was more or less towards the other side of the line. So what happened was this. People were getting prayed for. And one by one, they were falling. And I'm looking around, I'm like, oh my goodness. There's all these people that are lying on the floor, and you can see that they're having an authentic experience with the Lord. And came Martin, got prayed for, zero. you know when you want something to happen, and you're trying by all means for it to happen, and nothing, zero. And now the person is continuing to pray. I'm like, hoping that it comes anytime soon. I find myself on the floor as well, but nothing. And I was like, you know what? I'm definitely not going to be the only person standing. So I did the only logical thing to do. I took a dive. So I was part of the people on the floor as well. And it's always a challenge now when you're trying to fake something and you're around people that are real and genuine. Because for them, it's fine. For you, it's torment. It's torture. Because now you're trying to work out all these details in your mind. How long am I supposed to lie here? Can they really see that I'm faking it? Should I like try to open a little bit and see who's watching me and so on? But I lie there for 10, 15 minutes. I'm like, hey, this floor is cold. I'm done. I get up. And of course, the meeting went on. I left. But I was torn inside because I knew that what I had done was not right. So decided to go to the beach. I went to Winkelspruit, parked the car, pushed back the seat, and I just lay there. And as I lay there, the most beautiful, calming peace you could ever think of just came upon me. Everything around me became quiet. There were people, cars, everything around me, but everything was dead silent. I couldn't hear a thing. And I was just so amazed. I was just lying there, experiencing this feeling that I'd never experienced before. And as I was lying there, there's this one car that went past. And as that car went past, out of all the cars that were around me, for some reason I could hear that car. And it puzzled me. How come all the other cars I can't hear, but I can hear this one? And the response that I got at the time was that this experience that you are experiencing right now, so that you know that you can call on it, you have it, it's yours whenever you want it. The fact that you are experiencing this does not make you all of a sudden to be removed from the reality around you. You can still experience the peace of God, the move of the Spirit, while still being able to influence or impact the environment around you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophet. So this idea that because it's the move of the Spirit, then we're going to do any things anyhow, it's not really biblical. Because what the Bible is telling us is that God is with us no matter what is happening around us. And what he's also telling us is that we are supposed to be impacting the environment around us and not have this mindset that I have to be in, if I want to experience God, I have to be removed, I have to go to the mountain, I have to be somehow not part of the environment. I can be part of the environment, experience God, and still impact the environment. And now, I just want to talk about three lessons that I've learned from that experience. Because years later, having walked with the Lord, I look back at the incident, and there are just these three lessons that I want to share with you. The first one is, in this world, we cannot escape our humanity, but we have been given the power to overcome it. Romans 7, verse 15, 18, and 21 says, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. I came to the Holy Spirit weekend having every intention to experience God, but I found myself lying on the floor, not knowing what I was doing. And how true that is with us. Whenever we want to do good, evil lies close. The fact that you are here, sitting in this room, if we could go around each and every person, there are testimonies already from people in this room from the time that they woke up getting here. Some people that are here have gone through struggles already, gone through things that could have caused them not to be here. Because that's how the enemy works. The enemy will not allow you to move into the things of God without any resistance. If you are going down a path where you are going away from your calling, he won't trouble you that much. But the day you decide to turn things around and move in the path that God has called you to, that's when you begin to see the struggles. That's when you begin to see all these attacks, things breaking in the house, fights, all these things, because they are meant to distract you from what God is calling you to. Move the focus from him to the things so that you remain in the things. But verse 24 and 25 says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have been given the power to overcome. We don't have to stay in those things. Those things will come. Jesus says it's impossible for offenses not to come. In this world, you will experience trouble. But we don't have to stay in the trouble. We don't have to stay in the madness. We don't have to stay in the offense, because we've been given the authority and the power to overcome. The second lesson is, we rob ourselves of the authentic, chasing shadows. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. It reads, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" In my mind, I saw it to be a weakness that people were falling, I was not falling. So in my mind, again, I conjured up another reality. And that reality was, people that are experiencing God are lying on the floor. Which is not true. God is not only on the floor. He's also in the chairs. He's also in those that are standing. He's everywhere. So if now we conjure up new realities in our minds, we will miss everything that God is doing, chasing after these realities that really don't exist. What God is doing, he's doing to the body. It is the body of Christ. So if he's doing it to the body, it means he's doing it to the members individually. And when each member is experiencing the move of God, it doesn't mean that now this member somehow it's removed from the body and it's special. It's all of these things that are in our head. Because when this member is experiencing the move of God, that move, that experience is for the edification of the body. So this selfish approach or mindset that says it has to be about me, it's something that we really have to fight against. Because not everything is going to happen in you, but it can happen to others for you. And if now your focus is always that it has to happen to me, you will not really get to experience everything that God is teaching you to, or is teaching you, or even warning you about. Because there are some lessons that we have to learn from others in terms of the traps, the pitfalls that they've fallen into that we are supposed to avoid. So, the third lesson, in him we are always victorious. In him we are always victorious. When you look at that experience, I was lying on the floor doing Lord knows what. I can't even define it myself. But somehow, God still came through for me. I still experienced the very same thing that I wanted to experience, but just not in my time. Not how I wanted it to happen. Because in my time, it was in the hall, on the floor. In my time. Or according to my design. It was in the hall, on the floor. But for me, it was not in the hall, on the floor. It was by the beach, by myself. So God is always at work. Sometimes in ways that we cannot really be able to define, understand, agree with. But he's there. Sometimes it takes a moment that you step back and you just allow him to be. I'm reminded of this story in the African context. Lobola is something very important. So there's something that you don't do in the African context. You don't go to another man's house to say that you are going there to pay Lobola with 2,000 rands. Or with no money. That is taboo. It's something that is an offense of the highest kind. So this pastor was sharing this testimony. He said he was supposed to go and pay Lobola for his wife. And he had a company and there was money that was due to be paid and it wasn't paid. He tried everyone that he could think of. Say, lend me the money, I need to go. Because the date is set, people are called from all over to be part of this session. So there was no postponing it. And no one lent him the money. And then he prayed and decided, I'm going to go there anyways. Can you imagine now? He's not even going there with 2,000 rands. He's not going there with 1,500. He's going there with zero. So he gets there. How it works is that they will name a specific category, then you have to pay. So each category that is named, then you have to pay a certain amount. I'm just trying to summarize it for the sake of the meeting. So they get there. Category is named. And these people are expecting that he's going to pay. He's like, continue. They're like, no, it doesn't work that way. We name the category, you pay. He says, no, continue. They continued right up until the end. And then he told them, I don't have money. Were they offended? And he says, somehow, the father of the bride, he said to his brothers, my brothers, I understand you are angry, but it's okay. I accept him. I trust his word. He left. And as he was going out, the wife now, because it's an embarrassment, he runs after him and then he says, why didn't you tell me? I would have lent you the money. And then he says, I don't know why, but somehow I just couldn't tell you. So he left, long story short, on Monday, because this took place on a Saturday. On Monday, the money came through. He went back on the very Monday, paid everything in cash. But here's the thing now. In his time, the money was supposed to have been paid before Friday, or so before Saturday. And he was supposed to have gotten there with everything laid out. But we would not be sharing this testimony right now in terms of the favor of God, that you could walk into a room with everyone expecting that you are carrying something and then you don't have anything and still people accept you. What an awesome favor of God that he got to experience. And now when you look at it, he says, because it's lobola negotiations by definition, he says he didn't negotiate. He paid everything. Whatever that they asked for, he paid. So, long story short, God is always victorious. Even in the things that right now we don't understand. Even in the things that right now are not making sense, they should not be this way, they should not be that way. He's there, and he's leading us to victory. This is my testimony, which is, in a way, my introduction to what I would like to share with you guys. So I would just like to take you back a little bit to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 verse 11 says, and God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on earth. And it was so. In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7 verse 16 to 18 confirms this, and it reads, You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Each seed according to its own kind. The trees are bearing fruit. But when we look at it, we cannot have the fruit without the tree. And we also cannot have the tree without the seed that was planted in order for the tree to exist. Matthew chapter 13 tells us, in the parable of the sower, tells us that the seed is the word of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it reads, For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So if we just go back a little bit, the seed, which is the word of God, is planted. From that seed, what is born is a new creation, a child of God. A child of God with a new mind, a new approach, new way of thinking, and so on. But again, when you look at it another way, when the seed is planted, trees are born. And those trees are all of you. When you look at the trees are not the same. We could have apple trees being born off the apple seed. But it doesn't mean that every one of those trees is going to look exactly the same. They will be born off the apple seed, they will bear apples, but they will not look exactly the same, all of them. Later on, Paula is going to share something very interesting, which she shared with me during the break. But that brings us to the next point, which I want to share, which is you are one of a kind. You are one of a kind. It's not a mistake that God created us differently. Yet somehow, as human beings, we are drawn towards this idea where we want to make the people and the environment around us like us. Or at the very least, compatible with our thinking and our feelings and so on. And if you look at it, that is the reason why most people leave churches. They are offended. She's not supposed to be saying this. She's not supposed to be doing that. He's not supposed to be saying this. This should not be this way. This word was not correct. It was not biblical. It was this. It was that. I don't like this. I don't like that. This. That. And then people are gone. And here's the challenge. There's a spirit behind all of that. Because when we really look at it, God himself exists in fellowship. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The idea that there could be a break in fellowship does not emanate from God. Because if God himself exists in fellowship, then it means the fellowship that he has established in his body is forever. So which means now when something comes that threatens or pulls us away from that fellowship, it's not from the Spirit of God. So which means now, as you are pulled away from the body, there's a spirit that is doing that. And the spirit that has done that is going to continue with you for the rest of your life up until you deal with it. Which means wherever you go, it will be fine for a moment. But something again, or someone again is going to say something stupid. They're going to irritate you. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And before you know it, you're on the road again. And with that now, you end up missing the beauty and the wisdom behind difference. Because God created us differently for a reason. The Bible says, Psalms 139 says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are unique. You are special. And you should be celebrated. So this idea that now because I've seen someone walking in his or her own journey in a certain way and I liked it, so now I need to be like that. Or the reverse, where I'm walking a certain way and I need to pull people and cause them or make them to be as I am, is flawed. The difference should be celebrated. But then again, there's always a balance. When you read the Bible, you always find that concept that the Bible will pull you going this way, but then there's a scripture somewhere that will bring the balance. Because it's dangerous again to just know this one direction only when it comes to the truth of God. You have to know this direction, but balanced with this one, so that you are complete. Romans 5 says, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. But chapter 6 says, so what? Shall we continue to sin so that grace may abound? Certainly not. Shall you continue to be who you are because we are celebrating your individuality, who you are created by God, regardless of the flaws that are within you? Certainly not. What it means is that we will not try to do anything outside of what God is doing in your life. But it means you yourself have to be open to where God is leading you. You can't begin to even, for example, be making the kind of statements to say, oh, that's who I am. I'm just like this. I'm this, I'm that. Saying all these things that God has never called you. But you've come now to define yourself as this way, as that way. Because whilst we are going to celebrate and encourage you and walk with you and so on, but at the center of it all is Jesus Christ and what he is doing in our lives. So if now who you are is going to be celebrated so much so to a point where you are resisting the call of God, you are resisting the input from the fellowship that God has placed you in, and you are rejecting it just because you want to remain where you are, something has to be revisited. Because that's not how God has designed it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15 to 16 says, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let us hold true to what we have attained. As an individual, you are unique, different. But even in terms of what you have attained, it's different. We will not all of us be at the same level at the same time. We will not receive to the point that we fall on the floor at the same time in the same way. But now with that, there are two sides. There is the side of those who are mature, who have experienced all these things, who now have a revelation, let me put it that way, the revelation of the truth of God, and how easy it is now for them to become puffed up. Because the Bible says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. It's very easy, because now you become this judge, walking around, correcting, doing this, doing that, which ends up putting a lot of pressure on a whole lot of people, ends up to a whole lot of hurt in the name of good. On the other hand, it says to those that might not have attained, there's nothing wrong with where you are. Because where you are, God has placed you. Just remain open to him, leading you to even greater degrees of glory. Do not say, I've attained this, so I'm going to remain here forever. I've attained this, and I'm comfortable with where I am. I'm not falling for now, so it's okay. If I don't fall now, it doesn't mean that I will never fall. If I've not received this, if I'm not able to do this now, it doesn't mean that I will never be able to do it. But it just means that I have to continue to trust God that in his time, he will do it. Because interesting enough, again, is that we see things around us, people around us walking in this, walking in that, but we don't know their stories, how long it took them to walk as they are walking right now. It all seems as if it just happened overnight. There were no struggles, no challenges. It just happened, when it's not true. So, this brings us to the next point that I want us to talk about, which is the harvest. The word harvest, whenever it is mentioned, harvest, somehow in our minds, automatically, we are thinking of evangelism. And somehow it goes together, which is not necessarily wrong. But here's the thing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. If he gave some, it means there are some that he didn't give. And the question, I guess, maybe that has to be clarified is around the sum. Because it's very easy now to say, because he gave some, then it means I'm not included. But let's look at the word evangelist. The word evangelist, when you look at the definition, has two sides to it. There's a side when it says bringer of good news. But then there's another side where it talks of someone who has a vocation or an anointing from God to bring the good news. As the body, as the trees, God imparts in us different gifts as he chooses. So some he will give a special anointing. Some people, when they walk into a specific ministry, you can recognize the calling and the anointing of God when they walk into that ministry. Doesn't mean that everyone else cannot be able to do or walk in that ministry, but it just means that whenever they walk into it, it reflects that God has called them into that ministry. But the bringer of good news, which is the other side of the definition, the bringer of good news, the good news, what is the good news? It's you. Because when we are going to look at the good news as only preaching, maybe standing here or you have to give this long speech, somehow we are going to be limited. Because now our minds are going to say, but I'm not good at this. I can't do this. I can't do that. And now what that will do is that it will cause you to remain in a certain space when the truth is the good news that you can share, or the easiest good news, if I can put it that way, that you could share is about you. You were saved, born of the seed, the word of God. And that word of God gave birth to you. So which means if you want to bring the good news and you don't know how and you don't know where to begin, begin with yourself. And it's not about scripture, these long Bible verses and so on. When you look at the history of the Bible, it is said that the Bible originally did not have chapters and verses. So which means people would read the word of God and they would get to understand it. And when they shared the word of God, it was not according to Matthew 7, they would just read what, or they would just recite what God said. Paraphrasing is okay, because you're not paraphrasing from your mind, but you're paraphrasing from what you've read somewhere. So even if you say, I read in the Bible somewhere that it says, that's okay. So which means I'm not going to be limited by the fact that I don't know lots of scripture, because I can just come as I am with what I know at the level that I have attained and just share, beginning with myself. And I'm reminded of this story that Tim once shared when he was preaching. The story of this guy who was an evangelist, if I can put it that way. His message was so simple. His message was, excuse me, sir, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? If you die tonight, are you going to go to heaven? Excuse me, sir, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven? Simple message. He preached that message for 40 years. 40 years preaching the same message. And in the 40 years that he preached that message, he never saw a single person coming to Jesus. Single person coming to Jesus, but he just continued. It's because of the grace that was upon him. And now, 40 years later, someone who had heard the story of how he had preached and others got saved went, because he was from Australia. He went to Australia, looked him up, found him. He was an old man by that time. And the story goes, when he began to tell him of the number of people that came to the Lord because of that message, tears ran down his eyes. And that's when he said, in the 40 years I've been preaching that message, this is the first time I'm hearing of anyone coming to the Lord. 40 years. Excuse me, sir, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven? So this idea that it has to be this brilliant message, I have to say this or say that, it's not really what God is calling you to. God, the message of the cross is a simple message. It's not a complicated message. And Romans chapter 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. So the power of God unto salvation is not in the eloquence. It is not in the length, but it is in the word itself. Because when you look at it, when the seed is planted, it's not upon you to cause the seed to bring forth the tree. The seed is planted and the seed does the work. Now, I also want to make mention of this very important point when it comes to the harvest. A lot of the times when we think of the harvest, we think of the harvest in terms of the people out there. But the harvest is as much as about the people out there as it is about us. Because when we say they are out, we are in, so it's about them, we miss the fact that what qualifies us to be in the first place is the seed. The seed that we were born of. But the seed that was intended to give birth to a tree, but not just any tree, a fruit-bearing tree. So which means a fruit tree that does not bear fruit is missing the mark for which it was created. The harvest, bringing good news, is not an extraordinary activity that we engage in, but it's a reflection of who we are. In essence, what it means is that every time we do that, we bring the good news, we share, we are stepping into our calling. There is nothing that now says, because now I'm going to be evangelizing, I'm talking about the harvest, I now have to switch to this mode, call on this and that. No. It's with you. There is nothing outside of you that is required in order for you to be able to share the good news. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 to 7 says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. It was never our task to save anyone. If you have that mindset, you are carrying a lot of pressure, unnecessary pressure. Our task or our calling is to bring the good news. And it's the good news that is going to bring people unto salvation. So now, when we carry that mindset, it relieves us of all these unnecessary ideas, strategies, and everything else that we carry in our minds. But it just calls us into this space where we are saying, Lord, I was created to be a fruit-bearing tree. So help me to walk in my purpose. And with that again comes this thing that says, some people, when we're talking of walking into the calling, they have this mindset that, you know what, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm definitely going to do it. But I'm just waiting for this and this and this to happen. Then I'll start. In Luke, the parable of the lepers received their healing as they went. There are certain things concerning your calling, your salvation, that you will never experience if you are sitting. certain things about your calling, about your salvation that you will begin to experience when you begin to go. Because there are certain things that you can never theorize. Never. For the life of you, you will never theorize what it means to pray for a demon-possessed person. You can read about it. But you will never understand the warfare that will be before you and what it takes to be able to stand and defeat that enemy. I remember when we went to Zambia. You know, is it Ephesians chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken? It says, we've been given a name that is above all names. The sound of that name. Demons tremble. Okay, I could be getting the scripture incorrectly, but in the Bible it says that. But here's the thing. We've been given a name that is above all names. I had read that scripture many times. I knew it. But I remember we went to Zambia and we got to this family. We had walked for over 2.5 hours. I was finished. I was tired. I didn't think that I had any energy to be praying for anyone. If anything, I needed prayer. And I was praying for this lady. Because I was so tired, I didn't really know what to pray. I remember I just stood there, lifted up my hands, and I just said, Jesus. She began to tremble. I said, Jesus. She began to shake. Jesus. That was the only prayer that I prayed. Jesus. That day, I got to experience what it means when it says we have been given a name that is above all names. If I had not gone and experienced that experience, I would still be talking about it. I would still be at a point where if something of that nature were to be spoken of, I would not identify myself as being one of the people that are called to that. Because sometimes it's like that. We are sitting with these man-made creations in our head, the realities in our heads that are limiting us, putting us in certain boxes or categories that you are this, you are that. Only if you would go, you would begin to see the lie of the enemy. And you will begin to replace the lie with the truth of God. That you are a child of God. You are an overcomer. You've been given all authority to tread over serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. That's what the Bible says. So, in closing, God has called us, all of us, to be part of this one body. He has called us to be part of this one body that is working for the edification of itself. But as this one body is working for the edification of itself, that's where the fruitfulness comes. That's where when we talk of the harvest, we don't even have to spend much time, because as we engage in the calling for which we were called, the fruitfulness comes automatically. The harvest comes automatically because you have this edge, this burning inside of you to step into your calling. You have this edge inside of you, this thing that burns inside of you that says, I was bought at a price. I was given grace. So there's no ways that I'm going to keep quiet about such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing that God has done for me. If you remember the story of the Samaritan woman, when Jesus spoke to her, the Bible says he went back to the village and he told everyone of this amazing experience that he had had with the Savior. So, let us not be lied to by the enemy. Let us not limit ourselves with all these things that exist only in our minds. And as Tim prayed, even before. Our prayer is not for us as a church to be excited about ministries, about sermons, about this, about that. But our prayer is that we get to be excited to see what God is doing. Because sometimes it's like that. You come into church this week, that week, that week, but nothing is happening. And somehow we are still excited when we should be concerned. Because our excitement should not be just on the words that are spoken. The Bible says, the kingdom of heaven does not consist in word, but in power and the demonstration of the Spirit. The Spirit is demonstrated fully as we go. So I just like to request Paula to share that message, and then we are going to pray.
Thank you, Sifiso. Should I stand up? Yeah. In the first session, I got reminded of some reading up. Hello, everyone. I did some reading up on apple trees last year. And yeah, it just reminded me an interesting thing. So we're called to be fruit-bearing trees. And you get some fruit trees that can bear good fruit on their own. But interesting with thing with apple trees is they actually need other apple trees to be surrounding them to bear fruit. And not only other apple trees, but actually to bear optimal fruit, they need a different variety surrounding them to bear the best fruit that they can bear. And God is so clever that he puts that in creation so that we can learn from that as well. I think for us to bear good fruit, we need to embrace the differences that everyone else carries. It's cross-pollination in order to actually bear the best fruit. We've learned over this last year that we can't live in isolation, but we can't live with just the same-minded people around us. We need those differences in our lives in order to produce good fruit.
The Bible says, when he saw their faith in the story of the man that was let down through the roof, when he saw their faith. So sometimes it will take the people around you to lift you up and bring you to a place of healing. And we need to celebrate and embrace that the people around us are by design. They are not a mistake. The things that are happening around us are by design, not a mistake. Let us pray. Our Father, our King, we celebrate and we honor you. We thank you for all that you are doing in our lives. We glorify and we exalt your holy name. Father, there's nothing that we can do or say to save ourselves. There's nothing that we can do that is so smart, that is so brilliant, that it can by itself bring the transformation or lead us into your calling, O King. That's why we are fully surrendered, fully trusting you that even right now, as you have spoken, that you are going to silence the voice of the enemy that is trying to steal this word. You are going to silence the voice of the enemy that is trying to bring all these doubts, these confusions, these negative thoughts, but that you're just going to call us and lead us into action where we will not sit, but we will go bearing fruit of who you are, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sifiso. What a blessing. I just want to share something I shared at the end of the first service. Last week, I actually shared with the people that looking in time. There was some people went to a church, and when they went to the church, nobody greeted them. No one said anything to them. They were invisible. They were overlooked. They felt rejected and excluded and all the rest of it. And so they thought, let's set up a meeting with the pastor because they wanted to speak to him. And they went and spoke to the pastor and said, look, we just realized that nobody gave us any attention when we came to your church. We felt invisible. Therefore, what we want to do is we want to set up a welcoming team, if you don't mind, if we can get involved in that. And that church today is, I think it's Andy Stanley's church, which is an international influence and ministry. The point is this. You can walk into a church and think, okay, there's a problem there, there's a problem there, there's a problem there. And it's like looking at a net and saying there's a problem with the net because it's got a hole in it, instead of realizing that you're called to patch the hole. So my point in saying that is that all of us carry something, and I've shared this many times, I know, but it's such a good illustration, is the guy, he's a puzzle on his wall, and it's got a few pieces missing, and he put it up, and he a placard underneath, and he says, everybody counts. And you might look at a puzzle, and there's a piece missing, and you think, oh, well, that's an incomplete puzzle, I don't like it. Meanwhile, you are the other piece. And I just wanted to encourage you that, as Ephesians was saying, that imagine our heart was, Lord, please give me the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, so I can be a blessing to someone else. Imagine we our heart to be blessed was to be a blessing. So I just want to encourage you and remind you that you might feel like I'm not sure what my role is or what part I have to play, but everybody counts. So if you're in the room, God's got something for you. And if you see, hold on, there's a gap there, so to speak, then fill it. Because maybe God's showing you so that you can bring the filling that we need. And just before we close, I just want to pray for healing for anybody that's not well. And let's just trust God that he will move by his Spirit and I'm not just talking about fear of COVID, I'm talking about other things that are happening, because we want to trust that the Holy Spirit will work and that we'll walk in the healing that God achieved for us on the cross. So let's pray together. Holy Spirit, I thank you for an outpouring of your Spirit now over your people, over your church, over our community. I thank you, Jesus, that anybody in this room or listening online that needs healing has a divine touch from heaven. I thank you for absolutely restored bodies, restored health, that if somebody's got from a sore throat to cancer, it's completely healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that if one part of the body hurts, we all feel it. So therefore, we get around that person, we support them, we love them, and I thank you, Jesus, that they be healed. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we stand together in faith and we trust you for a flood of testimonies about the healing power of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, thank you very much for being here. We pray together on Tuesday night. Otherwise, we will see you next Sunday. And if you see gaps, trust God and say to somebody, hey, look, we are back. And then we will let you know if we're going to be going. I think, as far as I understand, we'll communicate that by Wednesday. We're going to be having one service at 9 o'clock, both services combined, and we'll open it up a bit. So God bless you. Have a wonderful week.